some creative
creativity for the society is the process podcast. It's the Process Podcast, episode 588. It's April now, I suppose. Yesterday was April Fool's. We had a weekend of what felt like fantastic weather, and then now it's looking outside, it's cold and gray and blowing rainy wind and isn't very nice out.
Yeah, potential snow on Thursday, I think.
Really?
I think, or at least it was. I don't know. Maybe it's changed now.
When I say that I'm sick of winter, like it's become a recurring thing each time I get into a meeting at work. Mm. I must have been just much more vocal this year about my disdain for winter. And whenever it's like a cloudy day or a cold day, whoever I'm in the meeting with, they're like, so are you enjoying this weather? And I always just have to say, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. Yesterday was great. It was sunny. It was nice. Go outside and you don't need a billion layers on, and then right back to square one today. Mm-hmm. So there's the weather chat for the day. How's things on your side?
It's all right. Construction is, started on.
Oh no.
Again. So
whereabouts is the construction now on the highway?
There's some in Milton area. It hasn't started. It hasn't really impacted too much, but like right near our shop, there's a bunch of construction, which is really fucking annoying, but
that's no fun.
Yeah, unfortunately. But
and it'll be like that until November.
Until November, December, yeah.
Yeah. But, and then they'll, and maybe even then, who knows? Maybe they'll just keep going.
Maybe. Unfortunately.
It's hard to say. Is it roadwork construction or?
Yeah. Near our shop, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, oh, gross. Stuff. The stuff in Milton, are they expanding stuff? Or because I haven't driven that in a long time.
It's like if you're going like westbound, like just as you're kind of leaving Milton, they're putting in like a new like overpass. Like there's a new highway or something they're putting in.
Oh shit.
So they've been building like on either side of eastbound, westbound, and in the middle as well. So they've just been building up like the banks and pouring all the concrete like supports and stuff like that. So I would imagine that's going to impact at some point because they're going to have to put the bridge in.
Oh, man, yeah.
Which is going to be crazy.
That's going to be a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to go down to one lane.
Yeah, it's going to be
for sure
brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be fun. I wonder if there's a way that you can get off like at the exit before and then get back on.
I'm going to have to look into it because, there should be. Probably have to go a little far.
Like a Guelph line, maybe.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, maybe. But it's something I'll definitely have to look into because that could help if it gets that bad,
Yeah, because you don't want that to be A, compromising you getting to work on time, but also B, you don't want to be sitting there in when summertime rolls around and it's like 38 degrees outside.
Fuck, I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Like that's just not a good time at all. Exactly. So I don't envy you any in that situation, but who knows? Hopefully you don't have to drive that far. Hopefully you get a nice job around here and then you don't have to.
I'm hoping that next Monday it's not going to be bad because the eclipse is happening.
Oh yeah. And I've completely forgotten about that.
Apparently Niagara like is the best place to see it around here. And apparently you said like expecting over like a million people or something.
That's insane.
Go to Niagara. Apparently like all hotels are like by the falls are all booked and like all shit's going down.
$3,000 a night.
Yeah. I mean, what's brutal though is like all the signs, all the digital signs on the 412 are like being like, April 8th eclipse, plan ahead or like skip traffic, stay home. Because like, all this traffic because everyone's gonna be going down either 401 or 403 to Niagara.
True. Yeah, that's right.
However, I think it's supposed to happen at like 3:30, like around the time that I'd usually head home. So most of the people should be down there.
Yeah, and they're going to want to stick around for the whole for the whole thing, like all the way before and then all the way after.
Yeah, so I'm hoping it doesn't impact, because if so, otherwise I'm going to be really freaking upset.
See, I thought it would have been quieter on the roads. I thought it would have been quieter on the roads, like anticipating that people are at the place already. Like,
yeah, I'm hoping,
it's hard to say.
Like, it would make sense to me because of like, I think the eclipse is supposed to happen. It only lasts for like, 20-30 minutes or something like that.
I think the whole thing, like there's total darkness for 7 or 8, and then the whole waning and waxing period of it is like 30-35 minutes.
So it's like that. If it's supposed to happen around 3:30, then if traffic is bad and people are going down there, they're not going to get down there in time. So I'd imagine that it'll be really busy like in the morning or like Sunday night. Or probably Monday morning or Monday like lunchtime is probably gonna be the worst.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I'm hoping I'll be okay.
I hope so.
The eastbound later in that day is gonna be crazy for anyone who has to go that way.
It's gonna be
crazy. Because it'll be everyone going home, which will be fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I get it. I think it's cool.
It's cool, but like I gotta work, so you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be driving out of my way. I know people that have taken the day off work to go down there.
Yeah,
I'm like that.
I didn't realize how rare it is, but like, still, like I got shit to do. It'd be lovely, like just be like, oh, you know, let's go to Niagara for the day and look at this cool, you know, cosmic thing. But
yeah,
no, can't afford that.
No, can't afford that. And I feel like the amount of people that are going to be there, like it's just not.
It'll ruin it.
Be the same.
Yeah, it'll be like it's going to be crammed shoulder to shoulder and everyone just like for 7 minutes, everyone's gonna be like, okay, cool. Now let's go back to the parking lot.
Exactly. And then it's going to be mayhem trying to leave there.
Yeah, it'll be like 8 hours trying to leave Niagara.
I was saying to some people on the weekend that like I would love to do that and be in like cottage country or something. If the path of completion or whatever it's called aligned with cottage country or even like somewhere up in Barrie and I'm like out on the water on the paddleboard or in a boat and experience it that way with no other people,
that'd be like pretty magical. Cool. I know that's a good point, like around a bunch of other people is like crammed, that would kind of ruin it.
Maybe it might ruin
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
I feel like that's just a common.
You're going to see it here. I think the way it works is where Niagara is, it's going to be like a total eclipse.
Yeah.
And I think they said like around Toronto, it's like 90%.
Yeah. I've like heard that. The same thing for Waterloo.
Yeah. I didn't realize how rare a total eclipse was, which I guess that's cool. But like, it's like every like 400 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And it just so happens to line up with where we are.
Yeah. Like in the world.
Geographically on the planet.
That's true. But like, whatever.
Yeah. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just another day.
Yeah. Like you said, it was cool if you were like on the water or like in the forest or something that's kind of almost creepy or like end of the world feely.
Yeah.
Ben was showing, because we were talking about today. And Ben was showing me his video from like years ago, and that wasn't a total eclipse. But someone was filming at like an Aussie concert, and Aussie's performing, and like a lunar eclipse happened or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like he starts singing the song, and it's like daytime, so it's bright, and then like 30 seconds in, it just goes completely like dark, as like Aussie Osbourne performing. The guy's like filming up, and it's like this crazy like eclipse, and it seems like, you know, he's got the powers, you know, he's. The Prince of Darkness. It's sick. That would be a good experience. Not with like a million other people in Niagara. And then like, you know, you pay like $40 to park for like half an hour and then spend 4.5 hours leaving Niagara Falls.
It's just a cash grab now at this point.
Like, yeah, I'd love to go down there more because I've never gone without my family.
Niagara Falls?
I've been many times, but not without my family. Fair. Like, it's not, and not as an adult. So I'd love to go.
Right, when you can drink and go to casinos.
Yeah, exactly. Except, like, now, like everything's super expensive. So
yeah, I wouldn't.
Not worth it.
No, I've been there, like, same thing a bunch of times. I've been there a bunch of times with my family, a bunch of times with school for school trips. And then my, like, high school friends and I went a few times before college. And it's fun, but I don't know if it's the place that I would go back to.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice, it's a day trip thing. Spend a night there. I don't know if I'd spend a night in like downtown Niagara. Niagara on the lake, very much so.
That would be
but
nicer.
That's also a much different pace. Yeah. Niagara on the lake's a lot more laid back, I would say.
Yeah.
But you get it on a clear day, you can see the CN Tower across the water, which is a strange experience.
Oh, right.
Because it's like right there. You can look, especially on a clear day, you can look directly across and see the whole skyline.
That's
cool. Which is also kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
But yeah, I think the eclipse is cool. I think it's going to be a fun time, but you won't catch me out there doing anything crazy.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to do my commute home while it's happening. So
yeah,
I guess I'll go dark at some point for a few minutes.
Yep, you'll turn your headlights on and then it'll become not dark again and you'll turn them off and then just carry on.
Which I guess is cool, but, you know, yeah, whatever.
I thought it would be cool. Oh, I'll go on a run or something when I'm out. And they also have to bank on the fact that it's a sunny day.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Like, let's, out of pure curiosity.
I was about to say, let's, now I'm like, it's going to be like a cloudy, gloomy day. It seems cloudy. It's not sunny. But again, I'm hilarious. Looking at the Apple weather app, which is like pure guesstimation at its finest. So I don't know how reliable that is.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I hate when websites don't allow you to use them because you've got an ad blocker on. It says here on the Weather Network, a mix of sun and clouds. Averaging about 6 hours of sun.
Imagine all those people travel, spend all this money to go to Niagara to watch this, and then like it's stuck in traffic, and then you like it's just super cloudy.
It's a rainstorm. It's thunder and lightning. It's not a good time. All the power goes out. Would I be surprised? No. I think that would be quite funny.
That would be funny.
Mostly because it's not at my expense. So that's also part of the reason. I think it'll be cool, but it'll be all over social media. You see it that way.
There'll be lots of pictures and videos, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just look out my window and say, oh, the sun has gone. And now it's back. Because I can do the same thing if I just close my eyes for 30 minutes. It looks exactly the same. It just goes dark.
I guess there is something cool when it's like a big like natural event, I guess.
Yeah.
To be in the world with like this big ass sky and it just like goes dark and then light again really quickly.
Cause it's something that's never like happened.
Just turn lights off and back on. It won't just happen like that, right? It's going dark and going bright usually takes a lot longer unless it's like a super cloudy day and you know, a big cloud goes in front of the sun or something, but you know,
yeah. That or like an earthquake or I don't know, anything like huge, crazy. Earthquake got a bit of a negative connotation to it, but any just big event in general, like
a big thunderstorm or like you know,
a big thunderstorm
or something. Yeah.
I think being able to witness the power of nature.
Yeah.
And the whole fact that we are just like little ants on this tiny little round sphere and that all these things are revolving around us, or we revolve around it rather.
Yeah,
like that's where the control and the power is probably a cool experience.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, I have a feeling it's going to be a quiet day in general because everyone's going to be so like hyper focused on it.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Just though.
Really hope
just
so.
To save everybody else the peace.
Yeah,
but
I really hope like, so, because if not, oh my god, it's gonna be hell driving. But I'm hoping it'll be fine.
Yeah. I've seen people that are like, there's people who are excited about it. And then there's like fear mongering people who are like, oh, it's a sign and
sign of the end of the world. Yeah. And like, wow. I'm sure every 400 years, people thought that it's the end of the world. And then it's not.
Yeah. The Mayans thought they had it right. They were very wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
We outlived them.
We heard it.
Take that, science. Take that, science. It proves that science is real.
Yeah, I guess it does.
It does. But aside from the eclipse stuff, we did have some actual design stuff that that you wanted to talk about. So what hath you brought?
I think I sent you like a... Actually, yeah, no, I didn't even send you it. I teased it, like,
yes,
I don't know, last week or something. I was like, dude, I just watched this like design portfolio review video and it was crazy. I don't know if you heard of it. The YouTube channel is called Design Theory. From a quick look, it's just very like, you know.
I'm going to Google it.
They've got a lot of like design kind of focused videos. I mean, obviously that's what it's about, but their stuff's pretty cool. I think they've got a few portfolio reviews.
Oh, this guy. Yeah. I know who this guy is.
Yeah.
I know who this guy is. He was, I'm blanking on his name, but he's got some ties with Offsite somehow.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Or like the people that are involved in Offsite know him. I think he did some of the classes like that.
Yeah, well, so it looks like they do a few like portfolio review videos, which is cool. But I happened to watch this one because it was like, let's see what it was called. Something like this industrial design portfolio got him a job right out of school. I was like, okay, well, you got me with the clickbait.
You got me with the clickbait, for sure.
But it was like, ooh, industrial design portfolio review, specifically ID. I was like, okay, I'm interested. And then as I started watching, they were saying it was like a junior designer, I think a third year, which is interesting. So I was like, okay,
that is,
let's see how crazy the third years are now. And this guy's portfolio was pretty sick. I mean, compared to say mine in third year or a lot of other people went to school with in third year, and looking at that, you know, it's a big difference. This guy is definitely on it, on a good path. I think like he's fucking going for it because the stuff's pretty impressive. There are some stuff where it's like, you know, as I guess as a professional technically now, not gonna say I'm like the greatest ever, but some stuff where I'm like, okay, it still looks like a bit of a student portfolio, or you know, maybe this isn't like the best or whatever, but it doesn't really matter at all.
There's tells for it.
But what I was impressed with, and I mean the guy must have got like a layout or some things from something else, I'm sure. He was inspired from something else to do it. But there was a couple of things that I thought were like done really well. And I thought one thing specifically that was like, oh my God, it's so easy. How have I not thought of this? It's so like clear and kind of genius. And the thing is, I mean, his layout was really good. The page, the page about himself and everything, like, it looked really nice. The table of contents was really nice. I like how he did things graphically. I was like, oh, I'm gonna like use a way that he kind of did things because it looks really good. The projects themselves looked really good, like it, you know, good sketching and model making and rendering, digital rendering, 3D modeling, all that shit. But the one thing that seems so simple that it kind of pissed me off because I was like, how have I not like thought of it? Or maybe I have, but not in a clear enough way that I like understood it. And this was in such a clear way that I just instantly was like, oh yeah, that's genius. Like that makes so much sense. And what he did was, you know, like in a portfolio where, okay, you pass your table of contents and you go to like the first project and you have like the title page of each project, right?
Yes.
Kind of like the beginning of the chapter type page, right? That first page. And usually, you know, we do like a bit of a hero render or like some sort of like teaser render. Mm-hmm. Right. And like the title, the name, all that shit. Very normal that way. What got me though, and I was like, that was the only thing I could care about in that video after that, was each of these title pages. Sorry, a bit more context. You know, whenever like we would do layouts for pages in a portfolio, and you go usually go like table of contents, and then the one after that is like, you know, kind of like the brief or whatever problem you're trying to solve, or you know, like, yeah. And then a little bit of design research or market research, user research, and then you go into your like your ideation and shit from there, right? Mm-hmm. I've always had the problem. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that do as well. And a lot of ones I see have this problem where you have like the title page already. And then the next like double spread page is like, or big single page is like the brief and the research and everything. And sometimes you're like two or three pages in before you even start seeing like sketches.
Yeah. It takes a long time to get started
because you're like, you know, cause you're like, well, I want to like show that. You know, I want to like explain people, you know, all the profs always told us, right? Like, you're not going to be there to present the portfolio. You got to hand it to someone, and someone's got to be able to read it and understand like, oh, this product that he's designing here is for this purpose, for this type of people. And, you know, he's solving this problem, part of the problem specifically, and blah, 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 whatever, right? To give context. So someone just doesn't look at it and be like, why the fuck did you make a giant, like spherical,
why'd you espresso make a love
machine student? Or something? Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, even context is not going to help it. But anyways, what he did was basically title page and like the brief, like together as one title page.
Oh, interesting.
Because
yeah, why not?
Exactly. And it's like really clear and concise. And immediately I thought like, oh my God, yeah, all the times I've tried to do layouts like at school. And I'd be like, you know, fuck, like I've wasted a whole page on like, well, not wasted, but I've used a whole page on explaining the brief and all this background information. But, you know, the profs are always on to us. You know, they're going to sit through and go through your whole portfolio. They're going to flip through it fast. You got to catch their attention. So you want to get to the pretty sketches and renders as soon as possible, right? But then you can't leave out the research and the ideation because then you have no context. So now sure. You just have to like add more pages to the portfolio, and the next thing you know, it gets massive. This guy, yeah. Though, really nice like hero render shot with, you know, the name of the project, but then put the brief on there. And the brief is just like one sentence.
As it should be.
As it should be, but like super clean, where now you're not wasting like a second page on like,
yeah,
you know, okay, this is the brief, this is the problem, it's for this people, here's the research of how this guy uses this fucking hammer, and this is how, you know, there's a gap in the market and hammers and blah, 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 all this stuff. And then like, and then the page after you finally do some weird sketches and whatever form development, this guy puts it all on one. So it's like, okay, one less page you need, that's already cut out. You know, if you have four projects, 34 pages less. That's a pretty big chunk gone.
Which adds up,
right? So that's a big chunk gone. But the part that really wowed me is within the brief, you know, written quite well, that's one short sentence. Again, so you're not expecting someone to sit there and read a fucking paragraph. And you don't want to busy up your title page with, you know, a paragraph of text. But within this brief, he specifies what the purpose of the project is. Within the brief. And so now you're getting context of like what the product is for, what the design is for, but also like what the design is for in your portfolio. This is where it kind of like, it blew me away, because it seems so simple, but you know, every time we're like, whether it was Detau or Catherine or Ken or anyone, you'd be doing the portfolio, right? You'd sitting down, or the project, presentation, whatever it is. I got this last, actually, I'll use this in the context of Ken because it was a personal experience of mine. In fourth year, last semester, we had like the little like electric micro car, city car kind of project with him. It was like the last auto project. And I remember we got to the stage where he was like, okay, the final deliverables, I want like, I think it was minimum 6 pages, kind of in like a presentation style, like, you know, in order. And these are the things you have to show in your design. And, you know, it's something like, you know, a hero, you know, two hero shots, like perspective kind of angles. You know, we got to show how, like, you know, how the battery works or how it's removed and replaced, how like big the foot, how small the footprint is compared to a regular size vehicle. You know, it has to be, we need like an in situ drawing and all this stuff, right? So you had like 6 pages and you had like, say, 6 different types of sketches or 6 different actions or whatever context, like in situs that you need to add. And I did the classic like everyone else where you just do a bunch of sketches because you're like, I'm going to pick these angles because it looks cool. And I'd be sitting down with Ken and I'd be like, Ken, like, how do I like, I don't have any sketches that show this stuff. Like, I don't know how to draw that. Like, I don't know how, like, I don't really understand what to do. And then he sat down and he did the little thumbnail and he like, you know, did all the thumbnails for me. And like with it, you know, holding the pencil at the very top by the eraser, like a fucking he's gangster.
Amazing.
Doing these quick rough sketches, but like very quickly showed to me through sketches, like, okay, think of it this way, like plan out everything and don't just plan out, you know, what you need to show on the page, plan out like what type of sketch you need to show that message on the page or whatever deliverable. So like, okay, if the battery, you got to show how the battery goes in and out or how it's interchangeable. Okay, have like this view and show someone grabbing that. Like, it sounds very simple. When he showed me that, I was like, oh, okay. Instead of like, and this is what I think most people did with portfolios, instead of going back to your hard drive and be like, hey, which projects do I have the most pictures of and the most renders and 3D models and sketches of and pictures that I can like pull and put them into a project in my portfolio? And then naturally, and I'm guilty of this too, everyone would be like, oh, I don't have enough sketches, you know, of like me building this model, or I didn't take enough photos of it, or I didn't classic get enough prompt research. And then you have to like go and fake a bunch of research to support your design or whatever, right? And so you just gather kind of like the stuff you think looks good from your hard drive of work over the past years. And you're like, how can I make a project out of this to throw in the portfolio? Which is totally the wrong way of doing it, right? The right way would be like,
it is. It's backwards.
But it's like, I mean, it's a learning curve, right? We all did
it. You got to make the mistake.
You got to make the mistake. And instead, you'd want to be like, well, you know, it's like what everyone says when getting a job. It's like, hey, well, if you're in a portfolio for a job, like in the portfolio, you want to show what ideally what you want to be doing. And what you're good at, what you're passionate about, and how you think within these, you know, situations, you know, or whatever you want to show that you do, how you do it, right? And so what this guy did was like essentially that, but within the same sentence as the brief. So now it's like two birds,
which
one stone.
Very smart.
It's very smart.
Very smart.
And his is a bit more broad because it reminds me of our ID portfolios where they're very broad because you're students and you're doing lots of different stuff at school anyways. Later in life as a professional, you'd probably be a lot more focused, specific to a certain type of design or whatever. But his was like, ultimately, you want to show what you're good at and what skills you're good at. And so each project, I think he had like four or five projects in the portfolio. Each title page had a brief that gave you just a quick and, you know, just enough context as to what the project was for. And then within that same sentence also explained what the focus of that project was on.
Yeah, like what are you showing off,
basically? What are you showing off?
What, like, are you using this portfolio to show off?
Exactly. And so this example, which is the first project in his portfolio, which is a, I don't know if you saw it. I think it's in the thumbnail. It's fucking rad. This guy did like a new take on like a microscope. Like a scientific.
I have to find this video.
And he called it oblique, and it's like very almost looks like, you know, some like, you know, everyone designs a new coffee machine kind of thing. But
yeah.
The brief says, design a highly conceptual microscope with a focus on form development and detail resolution. Super clean, super concise, but in that one sentence, he gives you the context of like what the hell the thing is. Because if you looked at it, you'd be like, is it a fucking, the end of like a futuristic gun? Is it a rocket ship? Is it a coffee maker? You know, is it like a, I don't know, scientific equipment? I guess it is. What is it? But now you know exactly what it is. And he already said highly conceptual. So he already gave you the context and basically set the boundaries for himself of allowing himself to do something that's like, it's conceptual. It's not going to be maybe 100% real. But it's like, it's real enough, but still gives him himself some leeway, right, in the design.
Yeah.
But then also in that same sentence, says with a focus on form development and detail resolution. And that is where now he gives context to why he put that project in that portfolio.
Yeah.
Because now specifically, and in that project, he has like, I think a little bit of research, ideation, concept development, you know, final design, detail work, then like 3D modeling, rendering, and like a real 3D model as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's done all the steps, but he's telling you like the focus for me on this project was these things. This is what I really want to show off.
Which is very clever.
Which is very clever. And then he does it again, like, you know, I think there was one that was like with a focus on, you know, some of the manufacturing or with this or that. And it was like different skills that he clearly has as an ID student and clearly things that he wants to get better at or things he wants to do in the future, work on in the future.
Shit.
But it's like,
yeah, design a house or his product based in user research and pain point resolution.
There you go. Tells you exactly what the point of that project is, both from like what the hell the project is and why it's in your portfolio. And I looked at this and I was like, you ever see those memes where like, or those videos where someone will do something like an everyday simple task, but does it in a way that's like clearly the right way. But you think and you're like, why have I been doing it this wrong way this whole, my whole life? And it's so simple.
Whole life hack.
Thing, yeah. And right? It's so simple. You're just like, oh my God, like how was I doing it wrong this whole time?
Yeah.
It's, I had that feeling. I looked at it and I was like, dude, that's so easy and so obvious. And if you said that out loud to someone else who's not even in design, they'd be like, well, yeah, that makes sense. And you're like, yeah but like, I didn't think
of
it.
It's not obvious.
It's not obvious, but it's genius. It's so like, A, you're getting rid of a page out of your portfolio, which like everyone has those pages of like, oh, here's a research and ideation and all this stuff, which like it's kind of a catch-22 because you need it in a portfolio, but then also most people don't want to like skip through six pages before they get to the good stuff, right? They just want to go right to the good stuff and be like, okay, this guy's got it or he doesn't, or we want him or we don't want him. So that guy got rid of that problem. Saved multiple pages in his portfolio already. Also gave more information on the title page. Everything's there, clear, concise. Nothing extra, nothing arbitrary, no wasted space, no filler, anything. But then also without having to like, you know, be there to like present it to someone and say, oh, by the way, like I'm showing you why, you know, we have this chair project in our portfolio because we wanted to show that we're able to, like, our model making skills and how we're able to build a functioning prototype.
Yeah.
You know, or manufacturing skills of being able to take it from an idea to a sketch to a real product. Which, you know, most time you're never going to be in that situation where you can explain that to someone. Or even get to the point of having an interview where now you can face to face with someone and they can be like, so why did you put this project in here? Or why did you, you know, why this project? You know, was it, you know, and then you tell them, no, this guy right away is just like, you read it and you're like, oh.
Boom, right there.
And I was like,
I get it.
And it would make sense because now if you're like a future employer or someone looking at it, right away, you're not wondering, like, why is this guy showing me, like, some crazy-looking microscope? It's, like, right there. It's, like, oh, okay, so he wants me to basically telling the viewer to focus on these things. Like, these are the big things that he, like, was really proud of or wanted to show through his project.
And maybe there's, like, some really strong subliminal messaging in that, too. Like,
yeah,
if there's faults or areas that are less resolved, the fact that the commentary is
like, don't focus on that. I wasn't focusing on that. That's why it's
The commentary is focus on these elements. Like, this is the purpose of the project. Therefore you're looking for those things. The oversights or less resolved areas of the design, largely due to time constraints with school projects, are more forgivable.
Exactly.
Or simply not even noticed because you're paying attention to something entirely different.
Exactly. But then I feel like it's also a double-edged sword because I also thought of it like, I remember I see a lot of videos of Adam Savage where he answers like just Q&As.
Yeah. They're nice. Nice videos.
Really good. And there's one he gets a lot when someone's asking him about portfolios and he says like, he always suggests, and he's always doing it in like a context of like model making or prop making, you know, outfits, stuff like that. But he always says like, you know, conceptual stuff is great. It shows your creativity, shows what you care about, what you're passionate about, all this stuff, right? But it's a two-way street, right? You want something from the employer, well, they want something from you. They want to know like whether or not you're going to be a good team, whether or not they can use you in the studio, right? Like
leverage your skills.
And so if a future employer is sitting there being like trying to figure out if they want you, he was like, what you need to do is in your portfolio, have things that whoever's looking at it knows what it should look like, because then they can tell whether or not you hit the goal, right? To explain it more, I guess, like, I guess in a design sense, like if you did some like super conceptual fucking coffee machine and you're like, or something really weird, that's like super creative. And that sure, that shows like, you know, how creative you are. But someone's going to look at it and be like, well, I don't know what it's supposed to look like anyways. Or like, what is a futuristic
Nespresso?
Yeah. Like what is like a futuristic like mech going to look like or something? Right. And it's like, well, like if you drew some like crazy ass, like alien and you were drawing like anatomy or whatever, right. For like a concept art place. And you know, someone's going to look at it and be like, well, I don't know if like, they achieve the goal of having it successfully done or not, because I don't know what the fuck it's supposed to look like.
Exactly.
But which shows creativity, but like, how can he be useful? Right. Mm-hmm. If you like sketched a fucking lion and the anatomy was like perfect, then someone could look at it and be like, well, I know what a lion's supposed to look like. And that looks like a lion. So you can clearly do that. Right. So like, I feel like it's a double-edged sword because absolutely you could be like, well, if you had a project where you didn't fully flesh out, or if you're doing it from beginning and you're planning a project that you wanted to put in portfolio, and now you have areas to focus on, which is good for your work. And also you don't have to worry about some of the other stuff as much, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because now you have like priority within the project, which is great. But it's also like, well, I've also pointed out to the viewer what I focused on. So you better like do a good job of it. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to be like, oh, you know, I did this with a focus on like model making, and then the model sucks.
It's like, well, you shit the bed on that. Yeah,
because then it's like, well, the thing you set out to do to show off, sucks. You like, you shit the bed. Like, it's awful.
You bricked it.
You bricked it. So, like, it doesn't look good. So, I feel like, you know, yeah, it gives you a little bit of like protection, but also you got to kill it still.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a useful tool to use in a portfolio, but it could work against you if your skills are not up to where they should be.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think.
Yeah. But I was like, I saw that and I was like, how did I not think of this? Like, there was so many times, especially in like details class where, you know, I mean, that class was fucking frustrating anyways, but the amount of times where
that's its own tangent.
Well, the amount of times I heard from a prof, you know, asking me like, well, what are you trying to show? And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, this, and they're like, no, well, that's the design. But like, what are you like trying to show? Like, why?
If you're like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you know what that means. Like, okay, like, yeah, but if you're gonna give someone this project, like, what are you trying to show this project, right? Well, that I fucking designed this cool thing. But it's like, now I get it. Because then they would always sense, like, you know, explain why. But I feel like I never fully got it. And then this one random kid from another country or whatever as a design student on a YouTube video just like in his portfolio was just like, oh yeah, like, you know, with a focus on this. And now you don't have to sit and like look through all your stuff anymore and be like, okay, I want to show that I'm good at, you know, marker rendering. Let me go through my hard drive and see what projects I did marker rendering on, and then find like two sketches that you rendered. And then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to see if I can BS a project out of these two sketches.
Mm-hmm.
And it never ends well.
No, because you're trying to make, you're trying to make something out of nothing.
Yeah, almost. Exactly. Whereas this is like you planned it, like, you know.
And that's a whole thing in general is planning a project, but also like the planning the documentation of a project.